Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the You Got a Minute Fam podcast. We are back from our little small holiday hiatus. That's definitely me, but it is what it is. I'm on my Antonio Brown mental health, hashtag mental health. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, by my conciliary. I didn't even say that right. I need an Italian person. Actively lazy.
Bing bong, fuck your life. Word to AB. That's what kind of energy we on today.
As always, when AB does a thing, and we'd had many days without an incident from AB, he hadn't really, well, not that many days, but, you know, it had been a while since before the vaccination thing. He had been on his best behavior since he'd been in Tampa, but it kind of all went downhill from there. But just to get the story right, because I've seen a lot of people spread misinformation, which happened. Happens a lot on the internet, but it wasn't because, at least the reports and the eyewitness testimonies and eyewitness accounts, it was not because he wanted incentives. He said he was not 100%. He did not want to go back in the game. Ian Rappaport reported that. Jay Glazer reported that he was asked to go back in the game by Bruce Arians, who Bruce Arians talked to Jay Glazer, asked to go back in the game, refused twice. He told him to get out. That was AB's response. So we put those together. Both agree that he was injured. Both agree he was asked to go back in the game and refused. And then we all saw what he did. Your thoughts, sir?
This man crazy, bro. And not the crazy like, oh, we need to help him. Not crazy like,
yeah, just crazy, like unstable.
Yeah, just let this man be, bro. Let him be. Look, if he's hurt, I mean, who's to say that? Like, you know, if the man say he can't play, he can't play. And taking in consideration what we know and what Bruce Arians says, I feel like it was a little disrespectful to AB to act that way. And then, you know, when you're dealing with somebody who's already unstable, it's what you're gonna get. This is what you're gonna get. You know, you tell him to get the hell out of here or whatever. And we see how Bruce talks. I'm sure he wasn't like polite about it, and especially given the magnitude of the game and exactly, you know, the moment that they were in. So AB showed his ass. And I mean, kudos to Bruce for not engaging and staying focused. Kudos to the rest of the team for staying focused, because I mean, you know, that's just something you just gotta deal with after the game. And I'm happy that he didn't stay in the locker room after the game, because I'm pretty sure some things would have happened.
Yeah, it would have been pretty. I just, gosh, there's so many things, and then hearing more of what was going on. In the end, this is the deal with the devil that they made. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady wanted it, and you got a Super Bowl out of it. So you can't be sad with it. He was one of the reasons that you won the Super Bowl. I'm not sure you win the Super Bowl without him. So you take a guy of a questionable character. You know he's a powder keg. You know he's a ticking time bomb. And he finally exploded. And then you took him back after the vaccine card thing. And Bruce Arians said he only had one chance. So Bruce Arians is in this spot where he gave his team up to Tom Brady. He's caving in. But at the same time, he wants to be tough Bruce Arians. You can't have it both ways. And so he wanted to be all badass and tell him to get out without understanding what was going on. We don't know if he was hurt or not. We don't know if he felt like he could cut and do the things that he needed to do. He certainly didn't seem hurt when he was giving the peace sign and running off and taking everything off. He looked very okay. But from a coach perspective, in 2020, if a player says he's hurt, you can't cut him or tell him to get out or even get off the sidelines, whatever that implies, whether get out implies get off my team, get off my sidelines, whatever that he took that as. Well, he obviously took it as get off of my, you know, team, but you can't do that.
Look, man, all AB ever really wanted was the same respect that they gave Tom Brady. He never got that. He got treated as one of the guys. Where he came from in Pittsburgh, he was not treated as one of the guys. And Bruce knew that. Bruce knew him before all this. Bruce didn't want him on the team. Remember,
yeah, he was like, with him in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so he didn't want him on the team at all. Like, this isn't something that Like, in my mind, this is something that could have easily been avoided if Bruce wanted it to be avoided, but he didn't want the boy on the team from the jump. And, you know, this was the perfect opportunity for him to impose his will. I bet you if it was something after the game and Tom was involved, it wouldn't have went down like this. He would have catered to Antonio Brown. I'm pretty sure that's been pissing him off too. And it's just the ego thing. So, I mean, they're going to miss him. I know that.
They need him. And that's a part of coaching too, to be able to handle these egos and to be able to deal with it. This is the guy you got on a team. On the actual field, there were no problems. There were no problems in the locker room. He did a stupid vax card thing, and he didn't handle his business off the field. But you knew some off-the-field stuff might happen. So you can't halfway do this. Either you signed on for AB or you're not. And that's not to take any responsibility away from the outright craziness. I'm just talking about dealing with the situation. We both talk about our backgrounds, my backgrounds, education, and all that. If you know you got a certain kind of kid in your room, you're going to have to treat him differently if he's a part of your room. And you know certain things might set him off and all of that. This is a bad stain on the Bucks, Brown, and Bruce Arians, not just Antonio Brown, even though he's going to make all the headlines. And you see the fact they haven't officially cut him. They don't know what the designation is going to be. So you see.
Wait, they haven't officially cut him?
No. And they haven't decided what his designation is. Because if they cut him, he'd be on waivers, right? So
yeah, but if the coach said he's no longer on the team, then he's no longer on the team.
Coach doesn't make the official decision on that. The general manager does. They got to ask.
So Bruce don't make the decision.
What?
You can't bring him back.
No, you can't. But I'm saying they have to figure out because he messed up. So if he really said that he was hurt and couldn't go, you can't cut a player because of that. So that's why they haven't actually officially released him, because you got to figure out what you're going to do about this, because you actually got a mess if the NFLPA or AB presses it. I don't know what the rules are, but I know you can't cut a player that says he's too hurt to go back in the game.
NFLPA ain't going to do anything. Can I just address the fact that people are stupid? And if you're one of these people that I'm talking about, just get off the internet. Antonio Brown had 19 catches in the previous two games that he came back this month. 19 catches, people. To get the incentives, he needed 8 more catches, I think like 56 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, that's a half if he wants it to be.
It still could happen.
Tom Brady clearly got him paid last year. Like, they did the incentive thing last year and he got him paid in the last game. They were going to do it again next week. It's no big deal. So they need to, like, people need to kill that rumor. They were not trying to
understand how football works. He never played every snap for Tampa Bay. Most receivers don't play every snap. You're in the majority of the snap. You're in for certain packages. You're out of certain packages. When you get a rest, you get breaks. You know, so it's not, they think because he's on the sidelines, because they think in Madden, you stay in the game every single play, that's how it is in real football. But that's not how it is in real football. And Cooper Kupp probably out there every play. But most receivers are in and out. They might play 75% of the snaps, 80% of the snaps or whatever, but you know that you're going to run, you might take them out, certain routes, you want to try something different. He wasn't around the team, so maybe he didn't know some of the new installation. It's all kind of reasons why a guy might be on the sidelines. And Mike Evans is right beside him. I believe they went back on offense. So people just don't understand what they actually are watching, and they just start dumbass rumors. The Arians, by accident, would give the man the ball because he's so pass happy. And then much less Tom Brady, who wants to keep the guy happy and literally gave him an incentive last year, just shoving the ball down his throat to get him the incentive. And he did the same thing with Evans. So he should have known Brady was going to take care of him. But our next headline, the death of John Madden. I know you touched on it on the recap show, but we could touch on it again. I think the best way to sum it up, John Madden and his legacy, through my eyes, and I told you this privately, I said, I don't think I would love football without John Madden. I would like football, but the passion I have, the love I have, the obsession I have is partly because John Madden loved it and he passed it on and he made it accessible to generations of young men and young women as game gets more popular.
Yeah, man, Madden is just, he's just what epitomizes football. Like when you think of football at the highest level, you think of John Madden, whether it's coaching, whether it's the video game, whether it's commentary. And I enjoy seeing the stories of how approachable he was, how no matter what, where he was in life, he always like, he never let it get to his head. Like he approached people.
Yeah. He never
was on the Madden buses and stuff like that. He would call players, coaches, and just talk to them like
text, a fan. Yeah, he was still texting people. As he told Harbaugh how great his line was and how great a performance it was right after the Michigan game. And you know, and he died soon after. But yeah, he was very active. I need to watch the documentary. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but I definitely want to watch the All Man documentary. But yeah, he had such a big impact.
He'll definitely be missed, man. There'll never be another like him for sure.
And so, and you know, and it's so funny because as a kid, I heard of him as the coach, and then he was becoming a legend as a football player. I mean, a football announcer. Then Madden blew up, and I just remember Madden being this next level video game. I read in like, I think there was a video game magazine, and they had the passing windows, and that was so revolutionary.
I remember that
at the time, you know, and it just went on from there. And now, you know, they do, it's like a tradition. Like I still buy Madden every year. I barely play video games, and I still buy Madden every year just because that's the football game. Like that's the football game. Even if it's just an update on the rosters, he deserves my loyalty. And he had input. Like he would say, hey, it's too easy to do it on fourth down. I see kids playing it and everybody goes for it on fourth down and they make it. You need to make the probabilities a little bit harder. This is like 20 years ago. Now everybody goes for the fourth down anyway, but in real life. But he just has such a big impact on the game. And he is missed. Perfect. Joe Burrow, y'all laughed at me.
I did not laugh at you.
Corey laughed at me. Joe Burrow.
Would you stop confusing us?
I think you
laughed. I said, would you stop confusing us? I take more shit from Corey than you do. And then
if he laughs, you laugh at me. It's just like
the little brother instinct.
Corey,
you turn around and you jump on me too. And I'm like, bro,
you be in there, bro. I can't remember. Y'all attack me. Y'all double team and attack me a lot. So it's hard to decipher where the shots coming from, bro. Somebody throwing blows at you, just duck that. And try to fire back. I don't know who is who. But anyway, Joe Burrow, do you believe Joe Burrow is a legitimate MVP candidate at this time?
I can't give him MVP candidate just because Aaron Rodgers is number one in the NFC and hasn't skipped a beat yet. So I can't give it to him. But, you know, it's been an impressive, like, month for sure. Yeah. It's been an impressive year overall for him. So I'm happy for Joe. I'm happy for the team. Like I said, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would have seen this coming. I think most people would have been optimistic at 8 to 9 wins for this team based off of what happened last year and the coach. But, you know, Jamar Chase is a god. And again, another apology to Chase. You know, most people protect their quarterbacks by getting left tackles, but the Bengals have protected their quarterback by getting just an unstoppable receiver.
Yeah, and the only reason I went with Chase is because, A, he's better than Justin Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson is my favorite receiver to come out in a long time. And Justin Jefferson is killing the league, and he was better than him at LSU, and he's better than him now, which is scary because Justin Jefferson is really, really good. And the fact they had that connection, you already knew the connection was legit. So it was like a special situation, but generally I think I would have tried to protect him too, but just the special situations of how special he is and how special their connection is. The only reason that I said, hey, you got to pick Jamar Chase just for what you're doing. And they actually did protect him, but a lot of the time, well, he got his jersey ripped off, but they did protect him pretty well overall. But in the last two games, this is, let me see if I can do the math. 1,071 yards in the last two games, 8 touchdowns. Like, bro, come on, man. And he has 4,611 for the season and 34-14. A lot of picks, but he does plays a high risk, high reward style. But more times than not, it works out. Newsflash, everybody. You cannot play Jamar Chase one-on-one. I don't know what the Chiefs were trying to do. I don't know what the Ravens were trying to do. The reason why they slowed down a little bit as an offense is because he was double-teamed. So don't do that unless you want to get roasted defense coordinators. But I like them, so you can do it if you want. I find them very entertaining. And I love Joe Burrow.
You know, honestly, can we just pause for a second? These I've been saying this a lot this year, but there's a lot of people calling plays and doing things in the NFL that are just beyond arrogant. Just makes no fucking sense. All the data that people have in the NFL week to week, and we still, like, they do it to the Chiefs. We still see people playing cover one defenses and things like that, single high. We still see people trying to just lock up Jamar Chase on an island. Are you kidding me? No safety over top, no help on the inside. We're gonna actually give him an outside release and play him to cut across the field, not accepting the fact that he's faster than you, that he can jump higher than you, that if he did cross your face, he's still gonna beat you. Like, there's just a lack of respect for some of these playmakers, and it's why it comes off so easy, because people are being stupid.
Yeah, it's stubbornness, stupidity. Maybe it's because they're young. You don't respect them. It's a rookie and a second year player. But I don't care. Do you see what they are doing to your squad? Make an adjustment. But they were very lucky to get out of that game. They had a couple fortunate incidents.
You like that sometimes.
Yeah, it was a while. But yeah, that's better to be lucky than good. But I do think if they play the Chiefs again, I'm not sure they would beat them. But I mean, I like them. They're my favorite team in the AFC because I love Joe Burrow. But, you know, I like them, but I still have my doubts. But hey, they, a bright future. You got to win. Everybody was like, oh, he's going to Cincinnati. This is what I'm saying. If you're a winner, if you are good enough of a quarterback, you'll change your culture. You'll change it. But if you're not, you won't, i.e. Matthew Stafford. But I'm not here to trash Matthew Stafford. But like I was trying to say, the Cowboys, they lost again. Every time everybody gets real high on them, they lose a game. All year long, you've had – not all year long, but a lot of the year, you've had them as number one in your power rankings. Where are the Dallas Cowboys in your power rankings now, sir?
The Dallas Cowboys in my power rankings are number 7.
Oh, well, you were very adamant that they were number one for a long time. What happened? I mean, why would they –
That was like a month ago.
I mean, but that was your power rankings, man.
Yeah, but it was a month ago. Like, a lot has changed in a month.
Not like the ESPN.
Yeah, no, nah, because they were good against the spread, but you know, that was a month ago. same way the Bucks are higher in my power rankings overall than they are against the spread. They kind of towards the bottom against the spread right now.
I don't understand. So, and this is a Cowboy fan. This is why I never believed in the team, because I saw the makeup. You got you got people like Amari Cooper out there that are no show entire games. But dude, he is. I like what? Unless he got a corner that he could just roast, he's not there. Now there are a lot of corners he can roast, but if there's a corner that he could just roast, he just doesn't show up. And there are just times where schematically and most of all internally and motivationally, the Cowboys don't show up for the first half. That's happened. That happened kind of against the Chiefs. That happened against the Raiders. That happened this game. That happened almost the whole game against Denver. They just don't show up and nothing works. And some people are saying Dak's injured and all that. But Dak was running around yesterday because he was desperate. He had a lot of heart, but he didn't play well until the Chiefs, not the Chiefs. He didn't play well until the Cardinals kind of, you know, they were in scramble mode. I don't want to say the Cardinals loosened up. It looked like they loosened up a little bit because they were winning. But he was in scramble mode. But why does it take that for the Cowboys to wake up? They should come out like that. So that's why I don't believe in them. Because I know there's going to be a playoff game that looks exactly like that game. And that was a game where McCarthy did hurt us because he mismanaged the timeouts. And that's predictable too. That's how we're going to lose in a playoff game. A lack of preparation, mad scramble when you get real desperate, and McCarthy fucking it up at the end.
Yeah, I mean, if you can put yourself in a position where you can overcome the obvious coaching disadvantage you're going to have when it comes to game management, then you'll be fine. But, I mean, this falls to me yesterday, kind of falls a little bit more on Dak again. Like he's got to be better. He's just got to be better. And it's not fair to him, but you know what? This is the fucking position that
that's what he's paid for. It's fair.
You have no running game. He got paid for what he has done. Okay. Him and Zeke got paid for what they have done. Not what he's paid necessarily to do. Because the people that are paid to overcome lack of running games and just piss poor play in general by a team are like making Patty Mahomes money. He's not making Patty Mahomes money. Y'all didn't want to pay him that, which is fine.
Record numbers, man. What do you want?
It was record numbers. It wasn't record numbers after Patty signed because he signed after Patty, right?
So he never. I was on Patty. What is Patty? What on paper is like $500 million? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You think he deserves
it? I'm not gonna entertain the whole Dak didn't earn his because he did.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. That's why I don't feel sorry for him because he got the salary. That's what you're getting paid for to carry the team.
But yeah, he's gotta do better. I don't know what you guys gotta do for a running game. I don't know if it's in design, if it's lack of
blocking. Both quarterbacks are hurt. For one, and he's inconsistent.
You won't let him heal.
I mean,
you won't let him heal.
Probably, but and that too looked to me like a resting on your laurels game. I feel like the defense was like, oh, we've arrived, and they got their asses kicked. It just was weird, just really weird. I really expected to win that game. One of the few games against a good team that I expected to just straight out win. And
I had them plus 235. I did not expect to win.
We fell woefully short. And I shouldn't be surprised, but I was surprised. I just kept waiting for something to happen. And some of it was fluky, the fake punt, stuff like that. I mean, that part was fluky. When we start making a comeback, not having a timeout, or the refs didn't call that. I'm not blaming the refs. I'm just saying that could have went a different way. And maybe the Cowboys end up winning that game. But you shouldn't get yourself in that position that you need that kind of stuff. And you're not prepared. I mean, you could fall for a fake punt, but yeah, I'm disappointed. Hopefully we blow out all the NFC East teams. So we'll shut the Eagles fans up. I haven't looked at it, but I'm not sure who we're playing the playoffs. But I'm looking at probably a second round exit most likely.
So I got to apologize. I thought I muted my mic when I was drinking my water just now. So if you heard something really loud, that was my water joke.
I was running my mouth. I'm loud. I don't think they heard me. I'm really loud.
But it's still too early to hit the panic button for Dallas, but you're not putting yourselves in a good position. But if I can try to find a silver lining, you're not the type of team that you probably want to have home field and come in at number one, because again, they don't play hard when they're expected to win and things like that. So I feel like if you guys come into this playoff with a chip on your shoulder, it might be a little better. And I say that about the Patriots. The Patriots are awful at home, but for some reason they play really well on the road. So honestly, it might not be a bad thing that they don't get home.
Arizona actually plays really well on the road as opposed to home for some weird reason.
Tyler's never lost there.
Yeah, he does own Texas Stadium, or what we call it, AT&T Stadium now.
Yeah,
but they had 3-game losing streak, and I think people kind of slept on it, and they fixed some of their issues too. And it just seemed like they're skidding, and the Cowboys had the best game of the season. It was just we're just gonna run in there and dog them. And that just did not happen. And that's coaching, getting your team emotionally and mentally ready to play. And so many times that doesn't happen. And Garrett and McCarthy so far are very, very similar, which is kind of scary. But like I said, I've enjoyed the season. I'm glad at least they were winning. And also, too, the thing with the Cowboys, and I'm ranting too much about my team because I'm frustrated, is since the Garrett regime and since we've gotten all this talent, we got the Parcells crop of talent, and then we got this talent that's in there. There's a lot of talent. It's just this thing that we think we can go out there and just beat people because we have more talent. And the NFL's not like that every week.
You can't do that. Teams that are long coming in on those losing streaks.
Yeah, you can't do that in the NFL. Eagle fans got on my nerves this week for several reasons. For one, every single week, they bump the over under 5.5 wins when they win a game. Like, bro, like, we get it. We exceeded expectations. But, like, I'm not impressed that you're mediocre and we thought you were going to be horrible. Is that worth the Super Bowl? Are we going to start or have a parade? I just don't understand. And so finally I decided, for one, they don't understand You Got a Minute Fam, title of this show. We do You Got a Minute Fam. I understand, Richard, we love you. You know, thanks for a supporter. You're an all-star day one, not day one, but a longtime supporter. He's old, I understand. I'm 43, Richard could be my father. I don't know if that's yo. So I understand. I just have it, Rich is on Twitter. He's doing great for a man of his age. So I understand that. But the rest of them, You Got a Minute Fam, it just means your team is losing. It's a function of the group. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose. People bump it. They don't get it. It just means, hey, let's talk about the fact that your team is getting beat right now. A lot of times they come back. I only do it to get conversation going. It's like a mini game thread, but they take it personal. Now, granted, they scored right after I posted it, but they were still losing. You should not be losing in the second half to the Washington football team, especially after they lost 56-14. That shows that you're trash.
Yeah, I try not to argue or get too upset at Eagles fans because they're crazy. Richard, I don't got nothing to do with what he said. You and John chill out. I ain't messing with y'all. I ain't messing with Hurt either until playoffs in the NBA season. So y'all get it, Philly crew. But yeah, I don't like the entire NFC East, honestly. All y'all really are the same fans, if you ask me.
I don't really like them that much either. I'm happy to be a Cowboys
and
fan.
And it's like that's annoying. It's like this bubble. It's this bubble that NFC East fans live in where they think that their games are just nationally important. Like we got a whole thread about games on Sundays. The Chiefs and Bengals are in a shootout. Everybody's watching it. Everybody's hype. And my man Aaron talking about the goddamn Eagles and John Doe's. Don't nobody care about that game, man. Don't nobody care about that game. And then the comebacks are always the same from every NFC East fan. It's like, well, they make some like swipe at your team. And I'm like, dude, I know how good my team is. I don't even comment about my team when my team is playing if there's a more entertaining game on, because I'm watching the more entertaining game. And there's been plenty of times on my big screen is a different game and on my phone is the Niners game, because, well, not all the games are entertaining. And I don't need to watch every single thing when I'm watching my team. But it's like, y'all got to get out that bubble. And Cowboy fans are not necessarily like that. And they are the more popular team nationally. So I don't really feel like I have to have this conversation with Cowboy fans, but Giants fans, Redskins fans, or sorry, John Doe's and Eagles fans, I'm like, yo, who are you? Nobody invited you to this party.
And I went off on him. And I said, never in my life have I seen so much celebration over mediocrity. Yes, the Eagles have exceeded expectations, but how have they done it? And I went and counted. By beating opponents with a combined record of 39-95. That's the records of the teams that they have beaten. Fly, Eagles, fly. Now, I really do. I do think it's cool what they've done. They've exceeded expectations, but they've been very fortunate that they figured out the running situation and what to do with Hurts. But reality is fool's gold. You can't build on that. You've only beat horrible teams, basically. And Jalen Hurts is not the long game term answer. You're not going to basically run a single wing offense in the NFL for a long period of time. All this is doing is making them think that Jalen Hurts is the answer. You're going to do it another year. It's going to fall flat. And then you're going to be worse off than you were. I hate to break it to you, Eagles fans. But when teams beat only bad teams, the next year, there's usually a correction. You'll be playing harder teams as well the next year because you had a good record.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, yeah, you were projected 5.5. You're at 8 wins now? They might have 9. They might have 9, okay. I mean, it's good. I'm not trying to downplay it. That's great, but just stay under the radar, man. Because the more you talk, if you get to the playoffs thing blown out, you're going to be really upset when people come back at you. And anybody going to hear, well, we wasn't supposed to be here when you've been acting like this is where you belong.
Right now, they're projected to play the Rams. So what's going to happen? Even with Stafford plays poorly. I don't know what I want more. Stafford to throw 3 interceptions and lose, or the Eagles to get killed by 100. I'm not sure which I want more, which outcome I want more, but probably Stafford, because it's still fool's gold for the Eagles. Even if they win that, because Stafford would have to literally give them that game for them to beat them, because they cannot, their defense can't do anything with them. So, but yeah, it'd be pretty funny. So yeah, right now it would be the Rams and the Eagles, the Bucks and the Niners, the Cardinals and the Cowboys. No thanks. Don't want to play them again. You know, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. And then, yeah, the Eagles would be, let me see. Yeah, they won 9 games. They're 9-7. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm not, it's a nice little story. But let's not take it too far. It's a nice little story. I had a stalker in my inbox, something called Chris Stevens, who ironically joined the group February 1st of 2020. I couldn't wait because he said that Michael Jordan wasn't top 3 and had a meme that posted the Utah Jazz as saying Jordan faced dentist and only showed the Utah Jazz, which I'm not sure where Stockton and Malone became bad, and then showed LeBron playing against, who is this? They have LeBron. For one, it's the Brooklyn Nets, who LeBron has never met in the playoffs and will never meet in the playoffs because he's not going to the finals. But at the Spurs, a young Oklahoma City, the Mavs, who he lost to, and I guess this is like the Clippers and the Celtics. But they were trying to say LeBron faced better competition, blah, 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 blah. But dude, how in the world can you, I've never heard somebody say Jordan wasn't top 3. In my whole entire life. Internet is wild, man.
I don't know what to make of these people that like constantly have to validate LeBron's greatness. Like I don't understand. If he was that great, you wouldn't have to constantly validate him with like the most ridiculous things. Whenever I used to hear people argue about Jordan or Magic, I never heard anybody say wild things like Magic wasn't even a top 5 player or something like that. Like just disrespecting him, you know, like his legacy. Like people generally respected his legacy and just felt like he wasn't as good as Jordan. The same with Kareem, you know, and then up until I met you, Wilt. Never anybody lobby for Wilt. But I'm like, I get tired of these LeBron fans, man. Like I personally don't see it. I will never see it. The closest we got was when he beat the Warriors in that
first. Yeah, that was when he was on, like he was at that level. I've seen him flirt with the level of being on Jordan.
Yeah.
But Jordan was on that level like almost always.
Every night.
Yeah, just every like night. At times where he didn't have enough teammates. Yeah, but that is like, I don't think, and John Anthony and Tony Mays will say silly stuff. Oh, he never won without Pippen. Pippen is not like, Pippen was a fringe top 10 player, not a guy. He wasn't better than Malone. He wasn't better than Ewing. He wasn't better than who else would had a run back then. But there were like guys, he wasn't better than Hakeem. There were guys that you could have a star and you could win 50 games a year with that guy. Pippen, they did do well when Jordan was out there 1 year. But the second year, they were struggling before Jordan came back. He only came back for 16, 18 games. And they were struggling. So he wasn't the kind of guy that could carry a team. He was a second guy who Jordan brought out the best in. But so he Jordan didn't have some kind of stacked team. He just carried the team. And you could look at the stats and see they carried the team. Not to get that discussion. But it's just so silly how they get LeBron fans. And I don't mind LeBron. L.A. Bron is not my favorite. But generally, I've rooted for LeBron. But his fans, man. Since Kobe has passed, I think that really took some of the steam out of Kobe fans. They used to be kind of crazy like that, but they're kind of chill now. Like, it's almost like we celebrated Kobe so well after his death. They're at peace with it, for the most part.
We don't get the crazy Kobe signs.
No. Except for Michael Stewart, which, you know, who actually posted this that got that guy going. But this Christopher Myers, he posts sometimes. This guy said, I'm glad you put him in his place because I get tired of looking up the stats all the time. He said, Jamar Chase is the wide receiver number one everyone thought Odell was. Do people really forget how good Odell Beckham was? And you just posted in 2014, 91 catches, 1,305 yards, 14.3 a carry, and 12 touchdowns. And that was in 16 games because he was hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, well, not it was 14 games because he was hurt.
That's what I was trying to explain to them. Like
people don't understand
like,
that first 3-4
look
years.
At the stat line.
And Eli was trash too?
Yes.
No. Odell was breaking records. Justin Jefferson is the one breaking Odell's records for the fastest start in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then probably Chase, I mean, Jamar Chase will break, but no, I'm not even going to say there's no comparison because there is a comparison, but it's the same comparison of the impact both men were making as rookie, you know, in their first years. So yeah, I don't know where people get this from. And it was only 2014. How you forget?
You that's all I'm saying, man. We had a whole thread. I'm telling you, it's very rare that I'm disappointed in this group because I have low expectations. But we had a whole thread of people saying, and I think most of them were Cowboy fans just being bitter, but still, really believing that that particular catch is what made Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham had 3,000 yards before the goddamn catch, man.
He was balling like, all the time. He's unstoppable.
Like, he was killing everybody. Like, I'm so baffled by that. With an Eli Manning that was definitely way past his prime. Like, imagine what he would have done imagine what he would have done with somebody like Joe Burrow's talent.
Yeah.
He don't need T. Higgins or Boyd or Mixon around him. He just needs to be on the field. And that's essentially what I think they also forget too, is that he didn't really have
anybody. Else. Nope. They might have still had the remnants of Mario Manningham or either Victor Cruz or something like that, but not a lot. Yeah. I would take, now this is high praise because I think the world of Jamar Chase and one of the best prospects to come out at 5, 6, whatever years, I would take young Odell over Jamar Chase. Young Odell could take a slant 80 yards. Like, he routinely took slants for big plays. It was scary. And it was 50-50 balls. He was coming down with them. And Jamar is great, but Jamar Chase is not taking slants to the house.
He got a lot of drops, too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just not, I mean, and I like Jamar Chase. And most people think I'm an Odell hater. I'm just trying to, I'm rooting against him right now because I just want to be right about him being diminished. I will say this, man. I never see the man get a touchdown every game, but he only get 30 yards passing. But anyway, he didn't have a big catch. But how you get a touchdown? You get 4 catches, 35 yards, and you still get a touchdown. They got something going on, bro. Something going on. But that was a big-time catch, and that was a hell of a move last week in the end zone. But he's – and if Robert Woods was there, I don't think he'd be seeing a lot of these catches either. But these balls, but whatever. He's doing his thing.
He's not seeing a lot of balls now because
Washed was strong, but he is not the Odell we used to know.
Hey, can I just also interrupt just to pull back that your man Tom Brady out here trying to make it seem like AB got mental issues all of a sudden?
Trying to make it seem.
Bro, he didn't have no problems. He didn't have no mental problems up until this particular moment. It wasn't the, you know what, I'm not going to go on a rant. I'll save it for
post. So you didn't think the fact that Tom was taking pictures with him and vouching for him, you don't think he was vouching for him being reformed because he had mental issues? Remember that? They were working out. He was vouching for him. He was living in his house. He treated him like one of Bruce Wayne treats the Robins. He took him in. He tried to mentor him. He let her live in his house.
Now he in the press talking about some everybody should do what they can to help him. What the fuck, man?
That part I was surprised he said that because I'd be pissed off, bro. I didn't think Tom ever genuinely liked him. I just thought Tom was using him. Maybe he did genuinely like him. I don't know. That dude is wild. But you saw he did a cameo. I should see how much money it is. But he did a cameo today, talking about Big Ben's last game, and the commentary was horrible. But he was like cliches and using the wrong cliche, and just it was horrible, but it was awkward. But I guess that's where he's got to get his bones from. He also released a single or something, so I don't know if he was waiting on that, but we're not done with Antonio Brown yet. He's definitely gonna fight one of the Paul brothers, so, or at least be on the undercard. Maybe a fight with Ben. Sure. I know he's like fake Ben. Le'Veon Bell or something like that. Ian Harrison. Sometimes I think it's just a weed thing with Ian or just a Dolphins thing. He said, so the Miami Dolphins going to make the playoffs after starting 1-7. Should Brian Flores have a chance to win Coach of the Year? I said, bro, you don't get points as a firefighter for starting a fire, then pointing it, pulling, then putting it out. Why would you be Coach of the Year? What did you overcome? Your own failures. And talk about sorry schedules.
Bro,
I do think mine is Philly, which
and my boy, man, and my boy, but yeah, he was tripping for that post. I was like, yo, y'all were projected to win like 10-11 games.
Yeah, you've under
some people even had y'all winning the
division. Like sneaking to win a division.
Yeah, so going from 1-7 to 10-7 ain't gonna get it done, bro. Ain't gonna get it done. I'm sorry. Yeah, nice try.
They got beat by the Texans. They're not good, but they can beat bad teams. They are really. The same thing as the Eagles. They're so limited, Flores, but they're well coached. Flores
could win out. Look, he could win out and be number three in their division as far as coaching. And I hate Sean McDermott, and I'm saying that.
So, yeah, it's not. That was just horrible. It's like, is this a super? It's like if Batman and Joker were one person. You wouldn't give Batman the credit if he was starting all the fires in Gotham and then Batman come in. And nah, bro. This was really weird, but the thing I like about Tony Mays, you know, he hurts my head. Maybe I've just gotten used to him, or maybe it's because he's an all-star, maybe because of all of the above. He calls things for different ways, but this was the most saltine post I've ever seen. He said, how would you feel as an offensive lineman if your quarterback didn't play in a bowl game? So I find him. I said, this got to be Jim Kraslow's or Kraslow's burner account, because no black man would write this. And that was before Matt Corral got hurt.
Yeah, it did sound very Jim-like. Like Jim rants about people hitting the portal, and his team is fucking giving the best receivers in the country to people like Alabama. Like, you ain't got to worry about people hitting the portal, man. Like, look at what you discard. Get out of here.
Not to Ryan Daly. Yeah,
I don't understand what people are getting at with this. Like, this notion that people who are free labor should risk millions of dollars one last game isn't a championship game. Yeah. And I know I was on the one post saying that the games matter. They do matter to certain players, to certain programs at certain times. If you are a top 10 or a projected first round pick, you should not be playing in a bowl game that is not the college football playoffs. You should not. I don't give a fuck if it's a New Year's Six game. You should sit out for the exact reasons of Coral. Like, that could have been worse. That could have been worse. Apparently, he's okay.
Okay. It
sounds like a high ankle sprain or something like that. But we've seen Jalen Smith. We've seen Jake Butt. We've had other issues with players just in general where you're like, why did they come back this senior year? Why did they do this? You know, like, just take care of yourself. You have to be selfish in that position. And people who are really on your side would understand, because these coaches don't think about the kids when they dip on schools in the middle of a bowl season or bowl prep. Guess what? The coaches who are supposed to go to school and their teams are in the playoffs, they fucking stay.
Yeah, the thing too is that it's funny. These people set up these systems. Usually, they take advantage of African Americans, but in this case, more than just African Americans, but mostly African Americans. And then the systems are proven to be unjust, even by the Supreme Court. But for somehow, it's better to go by that system just because that's all the way you've done it. If it was really about the team, then you would do what was best for everybody on the team, right? And so if I really love my player, so if it was my son or your son and you were also the coach, would you let your son play in a meaningless game to risk it? They'll say it's like family. Would you let a family member risk themselves for you when they have something better on horizon and what you're involved in is less? No, every good person that loves somebody would say, move on to that next thing. Why would you? But that they use, and as system, they use these players and these guys and brainwash them to thinking, oh, that's what team is about. Team is also about doing, helping people move on and bettering their lives. If they have to leave the team, if they have to leave the house and the family, it's also about that. You say, we're building young men. If you're building young men, at some point you're supposed to let them go and be a man. So it's twisted, really fucked up logic. And also I said on the thread, these Saltines want to be capitalists. You know, Tony said one thing, but usually it's Saltines. They want to be capitalists until it doesn't benefit them. Most of them are Republicans that say this, but you don't want a guy to go and better himself and make more money? What happened? Now you're a communist for the greater good. Yeah. Get out of here.
That's true. I mean, it's how it always is. It's the hypocrisy of our society. Like, that's what I got from Kurt Herbstreit's little rant. These guys just don't seem like they care about the game or love the game as much. Shut up, dude. Shut up. It's the same sacrifice to get to the highest level of football that it's always been. And the guys who used to play back in the day in these meaningless bowls didn't really have many options. And a lot of times they needed that extra exposure. But with the internet, with Twitter, with TikTok, with all the Instagram, all this stuff that we have now at the palm of our hands, scouts don't even need to come to your games. Honestly, like, some people could probably scout from looking at stuff online, like getting film online, things that were not accessible back in the day. So yes, there has been a change. And if the NCAA wants to make it so that these kids play, compensate them. That's what NIL is for, some time and his way through.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Well, I do understand the mentality, but it's not coming from a healthy place. Real quick, Dominic Zinga evidently has traded in. Where did he go to school? Florida International, Florida. Man,
Florida Atlantic, UCF, bro.
Yeah, Florida Atlantic.
I was going to prize that, too.
Stands. He does know some Georgia booster or donor.
I don't give a damn, bro. Don't give a damn. Dude, my uncle's been a season ticket holder for the Steelers before I was born. He helped lay the foundation for Heinz Field. He's literally got a spot in the fucking stadium. And I am not a Steelers fan. I am not. It's Big Ben's last game. I could have went. I ain't rocking no Ben jersey, bro.
He's definitely a see me kind of guy. But the thing is, which is fine. You know, you can be excited to be a fan. Not fine. My thing. But bro, he got Georgia jerseys on, and you Georgia all you do is talk about Florida Atlantic or whatever the hell you go, wherever you went, and all of a sudden you put a Georgia jersey on to go to the game. And I told him, I said, fuck off when he posted that he was going to the national championship game. And then he's like, perks of being friends with a good friend of a Georgia donor. Then I said, I don't care, Saltine. Then I put, because I thought he thought maybe I was jealous. And no, I meant it in general, not out of jealousy, just because you were flexing. You were trying to flex. And I don't care. Like, I don't care about those kind of things. You know, I'm not that kind of fan, but I mean, it's fun. It's great. You know, I would, if somebody had tickets for me, like, I don't think I would go because I'm not invested in either one of those two teams. You know, I don't know. Maybe when I was younger, I would have been really excited, but I'm not excited to go watch Georgia and Alabama play football at this point in my life. I wouldn't want to get on the plane. I wouldn't want to, or have to drive. You know, he's in Florida, so maybe that's not. Where's the thing? Is it Indianapolis? Where's the championship?
It's in Indy.
He'd have to fly because he lives in Florida, I believe. So I'm not for two teams. Now, if it was the Super Bowl, I'd be a little jealous, but no, man, I'm not. But you know, I like Zynga. That's Zynga. That's your, do your thing, bro. If that, you know, that's man. Good content. And you know, it was cool that he was posting from the game. Like, that was cool. He was giving the group something. He was posting and showing pictures and everything. He gave us a rating of the women. That was content. Then they made it about himself, which is why he didn't last long as an admin. But we love you, Zynga. It's okay, bro. No, you know, I didn't hesitate like I do with other people.
We don't. I don't have anything nice to say to you.
Group love.
You're wearing anything. A fucking Georgia shirt. Like, under no circumstances is that acceptable. There's only three people allowed to be Georgia fans: Holla, Keith, and Kevin. Those are the only three. And sometimes my friend Mike, who I allow.
Definitely, like, showed their, you know, they've been in the group long enough to be established. They're not Holla, but they
to do that. You don't get to do that, especially when you've been so FAU hype, man.
I know, right?
Ugh, it's disgusting. It's the worst heel turn of all time. I felt like he kicked me in the stomach, yo. I was so disgusted about that. And I usually don't say anything, but I definitely was like, you were in a Georgia? And then he was like, my sister went to Georgia. Bro, my sister went to Howard, and I hate HBCUs. What? Like, who cares? Who cares? And I'm joking. I don't hate HBCUs. Just in case she does sometimes listen.
You just hate on HBCUs.
Yeah, I do. And it's family. Okay, it's an inside thing. You leave it. We're not gonna take it there. I'm over it.
This dude, and we didn't find a lot of people. I think because it was the holiday season. This dude.
I didn't find because I just wasn't around. It's holiday season.
Leonard Godfrey said he actually likes the move for Becky Hammon going to the WNBA. Maybe she could parlay that into the NBA, coaching NBA. Like, why don't guys understand just like basic fundamentals about sports?
Don't watch the WNBA.
First of all, Bill Laimbeer.
Let's watch it.
First of all, Bill Laimbeer played in the He played in the NBA, has been coaching the WNBA. I don't know if he retired yet or not, but last time I checked, he was coaching the WNBA, and he hasn't sniffed an NBA job, and he won a championship. So how would a woman go be an NBA coach, go to WNBA coach, and then go back to the NBA? How does that make sense?
I like Becky Hammon, man.
I like it too.
I thought she deserved a chance.
She must have given up.
I thought she deserved a chance. And honestly, I don't think it's because she's a woman. I just think it's because people don't prefer her. Like, they just don't prefer her.
I think it's because she's a woman, man. Come on.
I'm trying to be nice here, okay? I'm trying to tell myself.
But then, you know, what job she get?
Progressive league would look bad.
These dudes are savages. I don't know. It's sexist, but they're savage. I don't think they would be feeling it. And it would be so many things that would go into that. But somebody got to get a chance. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she got, because they let her do the summer league, and I thought she
would. They did. She won the championship with the San Antonio Spurs. She already did that.
Yeah, so I thought she was getting closer. She got mentioned, but for somebody to pull the trigger, she's got her bona fides too, because she was an assistant coach, but I don't know. It's just kind of.
Well, let me just also say too, on that same thread, somebody said something about she would have been better than Chauncey Billups. That's a fucking lie. Okay? Chauncey Billups has been doing just fine
with
the lack of talent that he has in Portland, okay? And he had them boys playing defense for more than like a 3-week span, which is impressive. They don't have anybody healthy right now that can really help them. So that's part of their struggles, but don't disrespect Chauncey like that, man. If you don't watch the games, if you don't have an idea other than what you see on like highlights or read online, then just don't comment, man. Because the NBA right now is something that you really need to watch in order for you to understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than it used to be. Let's wrap things up. You got anything to plug? What's coming out this week?
We are going to do the NFL recap show, like playoff edition, like kind of talk about scenarios and potential first round matchups and try to navigate through the playoffs and come up with a Super Bowl matchup. So there's that. And then I wanted to just say to people, like, I've seen a lot of people saying things like, this is why I don't say anything on like bump threads. That's part of the fucking group. I've been wrong a lot of times. I said that the fucking Bengals should have drafted Sewell instead of Ja'Marr Chase. And I literally bring it up all the time. And people pick on me about it from time to time. But being wrong is perfectly fine. I've said this since the first time I got in the group. It's okay to be wrong. Just when you get corrected, just run with it. Learn from it. But don't be afraid to fucking comment and have an opinion. Like, God, you even got some. You know what I'm saying? It's your group. We pick on each other about this shit.
I stick at the 4-9 thing. I bump them because it's just it's fun. You can't be scared, man. People are always scared. You can't be scared. Now you can't say dumb stuff like LeBron is, you know, like Jordan not top three. But everybody know we laugh at that. But yeah, so I don't know. I get so tired of that. But anyway,
scared of AB 2022. Fuck that shit.
Exactly. So. For Actively Lazy and your commish, we're just asking you. You got a minute, fam?